Good morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 396-0577 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. And we have with us in the studio Mr. Tom Coyne from Umpqua. Tom, how are you?
You know, fantastic. We had a huge September closing month, and just keeping busy. These rates are absolutely incredible. They seem to have even gone down a little bit more this last week. So we're keeping busy and having fun.
Yeah, I know what you mean. We had to, the market has been moving extremely fast. We had hit some benchmark year goals. You know, last time I checked, we still have another quarter to go.
We do.
So we had to reset some of those benchmark goals for some team members. John McKay, how are you doing over there?
Doing well, doing well.
You are, huh? You busy with the sports still?
Busy with Dylan's Kamiokin football and Harley's Grid Kids, his little sister, playing quarterback, running back.
Absolutely.
And so in the meantime, you're getting in fights with your desk.
Yeah. Corners of desks, one, eyeball, nothing.
Yeah, we came in the studio and I said, McKay, it's a good thing that we do a radio show and not TV. So,
I would have broken the camera.
He's got a little shiner going right now, folks.
Been there, done that before. Well, we always like to start off with our crazy national real estate story. And this one was kind of a iconic house for sale. This is in Hollywood, and this is what's known as the Warner Brothers Mansion. This is a Beverly Hills estate that the Warner Brothers co-founder Harry Warner had once owned and built, and that is on the market. I mean, this place is just crazy. $40 million. Hmm. And now, granted, it is 12,000 square feet. It was built in the 1920s, and then it was remodeled, and now the current owner has gone through and did a huge, huge remodeling. It's got a swimming pool, like five waterfalls on the property, and it is absolutely an incredible property. And the list of people that have been there, I mean, it had hosted fundraisers for Bill Clinton, then tons of stars. Marilyn Monroe crashed at the guest house. And then the home was recently used on the O.J. Simpson miniseries that they had done. Mm. I did not see that, but according to the article here off of Zillow, that it had been used in that miniseries as O.J.'s Hollywood house.
I did like that show.
Yeah. Did you watch it?
I watched the
whole
thing.
You did. I didn't
hooked.
See it, so I had no idea. So that house is this one that was on the market.
So all you have to do is co-found a company like Warner Brothers, and then you could have a $40 million house.
And I got to tell you, being in the real estate business and loving real estate, we had a training event. We were meeting with some of the top real estate providers in the nation. We had a training conference in Nashville. So last week, I was in Nashville for a couple days. My wife and I went out a day or two early before the conference, and we got to go to Andrew Jackson, so President Andrew Jackson, 7th President Andrew Jackson's farmhouse that he lived in prior to being the president and then had rebuilt and remodeled after his presidency. It was on 1,200 acres.
Wow.
And Tom, this house was absolutely incredible. I laugh because this Beverly Hills one built, you know, 1920s. This house was built in the early 1800s.
Wow.
And so you look at it, being inside a house like that, it was museumed for the last 100 years. Very, very well preserved. Tons of it original, and we just don't have stuff that old on the West Coast.
Yeah, we don't. Are they still? Is it a working farm still? Or
they are. There was hay bales out front, so they've modernized the machinery a little bit there.
I bet, yeah.
But it sits on an original 1,200 acre piece, kind of plantation style. Your tree lined. It wasn't really a driveway; it was a horse path, you know, back then. But your tree lined entrance, wow, up to the house, and with huge huge Greek style columns in the front. It actually reminded me of like a miniature White House, and maybe being in the presidency, some of it was crafted after that. But absolutely, if you have the opportunity to be in Nashville or around there, going out to Hermitage is what it's called, and seeing that house, and for me, especially being in real estate, it was an incredible opportunity. So those are my two crazy home real estate stories, and it was just a fantastic experience. So one of the things Tom and I were talking about as we were preparing for the show and stuff is we said, gosh, we've had a great market. We've talked about sellers selling and kind of some record-setting prices that we're seeing in different areas. And one of the things we always talk about is owning and operating investment property and having rentals and using real estate as a method to grow your investment portfolio. We've done a number of shows on that. Tom and I both own property. We don't just work in this industry. We also follow what we're teaching and doing in our everyday career and converting that into a portion of our portfolio and our investment strategy also. And so one of the things that I wanted to go through before we started off the show is to just go through a very real life example. So let's say I took Lance's advice. I had purchased a rental property. And what would that calculation look like today? So I went back. I went back 11 years. I went back and to 2005. I went into our property data records and I pulled just a very, very real life example of what would have happened. So 2005, West Pasco. Kind of starting to explode. Road 68 did not look like it is now, but that would be an area that you would look at. Okay, here's where a growth pattern's coming. Let's buy a house in this plane of growth, a good rental property where we can collect rents to cover our costs, and let's do that. So I went back and I pulled an exact address and an exact sale, and there was a house, three bedroom, two bath, 1,100 square feet, AHO originally constructed home, sold from the first owner to the second time in 2005. And that house in 2005 sold for $117,000. Which is kind of, I'm chuckling because if I had that right now to do over again,
you would own a few more.
I would own a lot more of those. So that house in this particular case sold for $117,000. So I took some just very, and I'm sure Tom will be a little more specific than I am, but I said, let's say it's 05, lending was like the Wild West. You could probably get into one of those rentals back then for, I just assumed, 10% down. So let's say you had $10,000 for closing costs and what you put down, and you bought that house for $117,000, $10,000 down plus some additional costs that you paid. I'm going to say that you financed $110,000. So you financed $110,000, and I'm also going to say that you were aggressive. A lot of times, Tom and I look at these properties, and many times if people can do it, we're suggesting that they put those on a 15-year mortgage.
Absolutely.
That way, they're paying less interest over the life of that, and they can get that knocked out quicker to meet some of their retirement goals. So let's say that we put $110,000 on a 15-year mortgage. Now, back then, rates not as good as they were now, so I even assumed a 6.5% mortgage back then. So $110,000, 6.5%. You're looking at a principal and interest payment there running around $970. At the time, you could rent that house. It was about a wash. It was pretty close to that $1,000 for the rent, cover your cost, and cover your taxes. Very close. But let's say you did that. You took care of that rental for the last 11 years. I went in now to today's market, and I said, okay, what does that house sell for today? And very conservatively, the last five sales that happened for that exact same model on that street were selling between $165,000 now and 169.
How about that?
So we've gone from 117 to 165 to 169. So if you had bought that 11 years ago and said, hey, I put in my 11 years of being a landlord, I'm going to cash out, I'm ready to go, what would that look like for me? So let's go on the conservative side, on the low side of that. $165,000 selling price, $13,000 in transactional cost to sell, commissions, title, excise tax. That's going to give us a net of $152,000. Net $152,000. So then I looked at the amortization schedule. Had that been on a 15-year loan that we talked about, the end of year 11, your principal balance on that is going to be $39,500. $152,000 minus your $39,500. You've taken the $10,000 that you put down, you've taken your sweat equity, and now you've walked away with a check in that 11-year time period for $112,500.
That's $10,000 per year return.
Yeah, you've created that equity. And now I'm not even... I mean, I'm doing this very, very simply. I'm not even including, and it would be a whole nother show, and I'm not licensed to talk about it either, but I'm not even including the potential tax benefits that you might have gained in that 10 years. And so you'd have to check with your accountant to see. But this is just straight money in your pocket, not taking into account any of the potential tax benefits that you might have been receiving along the way also.
Well, we know rates dropped since then, so that person likely would have refinanced once or maybe even twice. So there's extra savings we're not factoring in. And then rents also went up.
Yes,
so
absolutely.
You have all those extra rents that gained up. So that is a very modest gain of $112,000 and a conservative estimate.
A very conservative estimate. And let's say you had done that once. Let's say you had done that twice. So two of those in that emerging market, you could have cashed out today and have generated yourself equity of around $225,000. So it was really fun to go back, because I always like to give a real life scenario, not just, you know, theory that we're talking about on the radio. This is an exact address I pulled out of West Pasco, exactly what would have been done. So
makes me wish I would have kept that home over on Camino I bought back then.
Absolutely. Sometimes we do these shows. It's a good reminder for those situations. So one of the things that with that situation, we said, okay, so we've looked at those benefits. We've looked at that example. What are some of the other factors to consider? Because it's great to look at that number and say, okay, here's where it is. Now, were there some headaches along the way? Absolutely, there probably was. There probably was some maintenance. If you had, you know, an 05 house in that time period, you're looking at, depending upon when it's built, you're looking at heating and air. Maybe an HVAC system went out along the way, and that was a $4,000 repair. You know, these are just scenarios that I'm throwing out. So the first thing that I wrote down for people is just to be very realistic about your home inspection results that you're getting when you look at purchasing these investment properties. And one of the things that we look at is roofing. So does a property potentially need a new roof in 5 years? If it does, are you going to be budgeting, and do you have enough cash flow monthly or reserves and savings saved up to cover the cost of that new roof? The next thing that I wrote down to really look out for, another big system when you're looking at those investment properties, is heating and air. Those are big, big ticket items. And trust me, when it's 108 degrees in June and July and the air conditioning goes out, if you want to see how fast a tenant can dial a phone, that is a great way to figure it out, because, you know, someone's sweltering in a unit and they're used to being comfortable. And then you likely could have, you know, emergency repairs and timing issues. So you want to make sure those systems are in place.
Well, the reserves are so, so, so important when you have a rental, because if that call happens, you need to fix that air conditioner right now. And that could add a whole lot of stress to you and your family if you haven't budgeted for those such repairs.
Absolutely. And so we always talk to people about keeping a reserve account for some of those major systems. If you have a house that's like this, a $150,000 house, at a minimum, you know, what are you looking at for a roof or an HVAC system? So at a minimum in those situations, you're going to want to be having the ability to have between $6,000 and $9,000 of reserves to cover those systems. systems if something happens. So those are some of the big factors that we look at from that home inspection. Then the second thing that I wrote down to really consider is a vacancy factor. Now, we've been very, very, very fortunate in the Tri-Cities the last 8-9 years, especially, to where we've had occupancy rates running anywhere from 95% to 99% in that time period, and it just rarely and has not dropped below that. So recently, in recent history, it's been extremely, extremely good. But you still have to budget for a certain amount of cash flow and consider what people call a vacancy factor. So, for instance, let's look and say that if you say have a rental that rents for $1,000 a month, and you're cash flowing at $200 a month, so you have $200 extra every month to be putting towards your reserves or as your profit. Now, if you end up being vacant for 1 month, say you have a 1-year lease and it cancels, you re-rent it in a week and a half or 2 weeks, but then that person doesn't move in for a week and a half or 2 weeks. It's very possible that would be $1,000 a month less. That would eat up 5 months of your cash flow. So you kind of need to factor in what can I potentially look at as a loss in income if I'm facing a vacancy. And that'll really just help you have a very, very realistic look at these investment properties and owning them. When we come back from our first break, there are some major differences that come up with buying investment property on the lending side versus owner-occupied, a house that you're going to live in. We're going to talk with Tom Coyne when we come back about those differences.
Right here on News Talk 870.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We've been talking about owning and operating investment property and rentals. We went through a couple before the break, some real life scenarios with some local properties from 05 until 06 until now, and just some of the gains that you can really use to help bolster up your portfolio or maybe diversify. Maybe you're really heavy in mutual funds and 401ks, and maybe you're looking to add just another dynamic to it. So now we are going to talk about the mechanics of actually purchasing these properties, how that looks on the lending side, and what else is going on in the lending world with you, Tom.
Well, we're definitely talking about something I'm passionate about, and it's something that is very much a part of my retirement portfolio, is owning rental properties. Now, it does become different when you're trying to buy an investment property versus, say, an owner-occupied property. And some people get a little bit shell-shocked when they call me and say, all right, great, Tom, we've listened to your show. We've heard what you said. We totally believe, it's a great idea to buy investment properties. How much do I need to put down? Well, the minimum down payment on a single-family investment property is 15%. So that is one of the barriers to entry, I would say, is coming up with that initial investment. Now, at 15% down, you're going to have pretty high rate and pretty high mortgage insurance because rates are higher for an investment property than they are for owner-occupied. Reason being, if you go through financial struggles and you're having to decide, do I make the payment on my primary residence or the investment property, you're probably going to make the payment on the home that you and your wife and your kids live in. So that's why it's a little bit higher interest rates, is they're considered more risk. So at 20% down, the rate gets better, and it gets even better at 25% down. So I always say try to shoot for 20, but if you have the ability to, try to get to that 25% down. Now, one great way to kind of break into the rental market, let's say you're living with your folks right now, or you're renting a home and you want to buy a new house to live in, we'll finance 1-4 unit properties as owner occupied, being if you're going to live in one of those units. Now, you can get in for as little as 3.5% down on a fourplex and be renting out your three other units, and you're likely not paying any of your house payment because those three units are covering your house payment. So really good way to break into that market. Now, if you live in a single family home and you want to convert that to a owner or a rental and purchase or say a 4-unit property, you're going to have a hard time selling that to an underwriter that new property is truly going to be owner occupied because a single family home is more desirable than a multi-unit home. However, if you don't own a property and you're going to move into a multi-family, that completely makes sense. Great way to get in the market.
And Tom, I'm glad you brought that up too, because one of the things that I've noticed with folks that do it in that progression is they also gain experience about what it's like to live in a duplex or live in a fourplex. So they're there for a couple years and they start to see what some of the management issues can be, dealing with people, interacting with different ways, how you pay for utilities, where the garbage is, and just those simple little things that's great advice, not only from your lending side, but from an experience factor it's a great way to get in.
Certainly gives you a different perspective on how to manage that effectively once you do move out of that property and make it a full-time rental. Now, we talk about rates a lot, and I think everyone out there knows that rates are absolutely incredible. I just had a client, he was kind of complaining a little bit about the interest rate. I wish I could quote you, but I can't. It's a phenomenal rate. I mean, if we look at where we are in the history of rates, rates are really, really good, but rates are higher for a duplex investment property. And he was thinking about not pulling the trigger on this duplex because of where the rate was at. It was still below 5%. And I had to kind of remind him, do you think people weren't buying rental properties 5 years ago when they were, say, above 6 or
right,
whatever they're at?
Right, exactly. So, that example I gave you before the break was 6.5.
And that return was pretty darn good.
Exactly.
So I reeled them back in, put things back in perspective, and everything was good. But I want to talk about rate of return. Now, Lance talked about, you know, what could your $10,000 have turned into over an 11-year period before the break. And I want to give some percentages here. Now, rentals require a little bit greater down payment now, so I want to talk about monthly cash flow rate of return. Let's pretend you put down a $50,000 down payment. It is not unreasonable to think that $50,000 could give you a net cash flow of $600 a month. Now, if you spread that over, on say a 30-year mortgage, spread that over 12 months, that's $7,200 positive cash flow from your $50,000 investment. Now, if you take the rate of return on that over a 12-month period, that's 14.4%. I don't know about your investment accounts, Lance, or your retirement. Mine have not got me 14% in a long time.
Yeah, that's healthy, healthy, healthy.
Which leads me to my next topic of how to come up with a down payment for one of these rentals. I have a lot of clients that use their 401k. I really don't have a problem with this because I look at real estate, 401ks, all is the umbrella of your retirement portfolio. My 401k has not gotten 14% in a long time. So if you're going to leverage your 401k, maybe take a loan out of your 401k in which you're paying yourself back interest and use that money to go get an asset that's going to get you above a 10% return, then that is fantastic. And like we talked about before the break, we've been really, really fortunate in the Tri-Cities with the vacancy factor in the Tri-Cities and the how many properties are being rented, how quick they're getting rented. It's not uncommon to have 99% rental factor in the Tri-Cities. So really, really good investment, I think. Another option that I have clients do is maybe you have some equity in your primary residence and you could do a cash out refinance to get some money out. Or I've had clients that own their home free and clear. They do a cash out refinance and they get enough out to make that down payment on maybe 2 or 3 rentals. Now you're really leveraging that equity that you've built in your primary residence and putting it to work for you on an investment property.
Yeah, those are some great, great ways to do that. And it's nice to know for people to have a target what they're saving for. So I love that you have that 25% down is that target that you want to hit so that it's most affordable.
Absolutely.
Good information from Tom on the lending side of things there. And one of the other things that I wrote down, some additional notes to look at when you're considering a rental property like this, because there's some other things. I mean, people look at that and say, okay, well, $110,000 in that 11 year, could I have just saved $10,000 a year? And so you really need to look at kind of your discipline structure, your tax advantages with a CPA, what you're looking at. The other thing, the third thing that I wrote down is time. do you have the time to do this? And there's some options there, either if you're one or two or you have a couple and you have the time and that's something you want to gain experience at, then you can manage those. The other thing you can do is we own a property management company. So we have Kenmore Team Property Management Brokerage, and we also have plans set out for our investors and our clients. And it's another expense that you factor into your rate of return, and you can have the property professionally managed. And so if that is a situation for somebody, we would love to have you sit down with our property management department, talk to them about how that works, what those rates are, and what are some of the benefits that we can do in that situation. So I wrote down the big thing is, if you are going to be managing it yourself, do you have the time to also schedule visual checks of the property? I told people you have to put this into your calendar as a recurring, even if it's every 3 months you're driving by the property and checking it out. It's amazing what you can find out just from a visual check driving by. Are there now 20 cars in the driveway and on the property when there used to only be two? Is the lawn starting to burn up? You know,
do you hear a dog barking in the back and there's not supposed to be pets?
Absolutely. So it really is a situation to where that can be the case. Another tip that I put out to a lot of people, and there's a lot of cost-wise and managers that disagree with this, and it depends on the landlord and the people. It costs a little bit more, but you can also schedule exterior lawn maintenance. You can charge a little more in rent and schedule that as a landlord cost. One of the things that does is that allows your service providers to also be on property once a week, so that if something does start to happen, they can identify that sooner and hopefully do a course correction and make that happen faster than before there's a huge problem.
You know, I got a guy who mows the lawn on my rental properties, and if the grass starts getting dry, he calls me and says, "Hey, Tom, just want to let you know this property looks like it's a little dry," or, "Hey, there's some weeds getting out of control here. You want me to take care of them?" And it's your second set of eyes.
It's absolutely. It's a great, great part of the process. The other thing that I wrote down, and one of the biggest hidden costs that can happen, that people sometimes they're factoring in that vacancy factor, but a lot of times they're not factoring in kind of what I call the hidden cost of repairs after vacancy. Because if the carpets have normal wear and tear, the walls get some nicks or get a little bit dirty, you're going to need to be budgeting for those repairs after the vacancy. You also want to make sure that your lease is very, very clear about what happens for those repairs. Move in, move out checklist. Absolutely another imperative tip, so that you're getting signatures, you're getting pictures, you know exactly what that property looked like upon the tenant moving in, and protection for the tenant also, so that they're not getting charged for pre-existing conditions that were already there when they moved in.
Better yet, if you don't want to have to be responsible for that, hire the Kenmore Team Property Management and they'll do it for you.
Absolutely. We've spent a lot of money on making sure that our leases are very, very effective. So those are the big things when looking at those investment properties. Once again, why did we do this show right now? Because we've seen a cycle of investors. We've been in the business long enough. We've seen a cycle of investors that we sold homes to, you know, 11, 12 years ago. And they've gone through that cycle and they're just about paid off. And now they're reaping the benefits of that and they're selling in this cycle. And the way things work, I know there'll be a fresh batch of investors that are now buying those homes and they're going to go through that same cycle themselves. And many of our people that we've sold homes to and that we professionally manage, they're not selling. You know, they know that this same cycle is going to happen again. They don't need the money right now. It's a retirement, a savings plan. And so who knows? We could be doing the show 9 years from now again, And we those homes that I just gave in the example, instead of 170, I mean, they very well could be 200,000 if they keep up, you know, that same line of appreciation. So definitely a great opportunity. We've had a great market to do that. It's just this is a really, really good option for somebody looking to build some long-term wealth. If you have any questions about those options, property management, finding the right property to buy in that portfolio, please go to our website, kenmoreteam.com, and shoot us a message. Tom, on the lending and finance side, how can folks get a hold of you?
You can go to my website 24 hours a day, tomcoinhomeloans.com.
And we'll be right back here next week.
Right here on News Talk 870.